Dakota and bringing a wave of guilt. Unyielding, unforgiving guilt. Rhoda plucked several large strawberries from the vine and dropped them into the bushel basket. "Time for what?" she whispered. The moment the words left her mouth, she glanced up, checking her surroundings. She quickly looked beyond the picket fence that enclosed her fruit and herb garden, but saw no one. Her shoulders relaxed. When townsfolk or neighbors noticed Rhoda talking to herself, fresh rumors stirred. Even family members frowned upon it and asked her to stop. "It's time." Emma's gentle voice echoed around her for a second time. "Time for what?" Rhoda repeated. More a prayer to God than a question to her departed sister. God was the one who spoke in whispers to the soul, not the dead. But whenever Rhoda heard a murmuring in her mind, it was Emma's voice. It had been that way since the day Emma died. The sound of two people talking near the road caught Rhoda's attention. Surely they were real. She rose out of her crouch, pressing her bare feet into the rich soil, and went in the direction of the voices, passing the long rows of strawberries, blueberries, and blackberries, and her trellises of raspberries and Concord grapes. Heady scents rode on the spring air, not just from the ripening fruits, but from her bountiful herb garden that yielded rosemary, sage, scarlet bergamot, and dozens of other plants she'd spent years cultivating. Dusting her palms together, she skirted the raised boxes that held the herbs and peered through a honeysuckle bush. She was relieved to see actual people speaking to each other. Then she recognized them, and her fingertips tingled as her pulse raced. Her mother's eldest sister walked beside Reuben Glick, a man who wanted to make her life miserable. "Surely her dad will listen to me this time." Aunt Naomi clutched her fists tightly. "He indulges her. That's the real problem." Rhoda had no doubt they were talking about her. Since Emma's death 2 years ago, the church leaders had avoided responding to all the trouble that Rhoda had caused, however unintentional. They offered grace and mercy as her family tried to deal with their grief from the tragedy. But Reuben and Naomi made it their responsibility to keep Rhoda's family aware of how the Amish and non-Amish in Morgansville felt about her.
"I can bring a witness this time, more if need be."
Reuben's tone was confident, with a familiar edge of bitterness. More than anyone else in Morgansville, Reuben detested her. But unlike the others, he was only too happy to speak his mind directly to her and her family. And Rhoda knew why. He wanted to make her pay for turning his girlfriend against him. Rhoda had plenty of things to feel guilty for, but Reuben losing his girlfriend was not one of them. Her aunt paused at the corner of the fence, studying Rhoda's house. "There should be no need for a witness, especially from those who are not Amish. The quieter we keep this matter, the better." Reuben had found witnesses who weren't Amish? How? She tried her best to keep anyone from knowing her business. She never even shared with her family her comings and goings based on intuition. Dread pressed in on her, and she bit back her growing contempt for Reuben Glick. "Come." Her aunt crossed the driveway with Reuben Glick right beside her. Naomi tapped on the screen door and waited. The fact that she didn't let herself in was a sign of the troubled feelings between her dad and his sister-in-law. Not counting Rhoda, 6 adults and 5 children were living in the house right now. Her parents, 2 of her brothers, and their wives and children. Regardless which adult answered the door, Naomi and Reuben would take up matters concerning Rhoda with only her father. Mom came to the door and invited her sister and Reuben into the house. Rhoda moved out from behind the honeysuckle bush, curiosity and anxiety mixing inside her. What accusation did Reuben have against her this time? Regardless of the new charge.